radio that's completely out of this world.
That's right.
You know, we got a lot of listeners tonight. It's hard for us to even tell how many listeners we have anymore because there's so many people grabbing our streams from around the world. But we have a wonderful listening audience right now, and I'm just happy to be here.
Mm-hmm. You know what they said. How many are listening with a big L?
That's key, isn't it?
That's right. You know, those of you that are listening with a big L know that there's things that go on this show, on the Don and Wynn show, that are pretty unusual. And we may sound like a bunch of cornballs, and we probably are, but in between the cracks of the corn, there's some really amazing things. And we thank you for listening and tuning in and hearing Don and I banter again. There's all kinds of new and great things going on. And in today's world, it's very good when somebody comes and says there's new and great things going on. Could we say that, Don?
You know what? We really can't win. There is, I mean, this... The energy that's in place now is unbelievable. If you just spend a little time in a quiet place and you just let all the energies just enfold you, it's amazing the power of those energies. It's beautiful. I think the world's, I mean, humanity's waking up on a scale that is unbelievable. People are waking up all over the place. When you're talking to them and you're meeting them in the store or walking down the street, they're just, the attitudes are changing. People are open, more receptive. It's an experience.
Now, for those of you that tuned in to Girlfriend X last week, and maybe I should say who Girlfriend X is for the people that have no idea what I'm talking about.
He gives all his cute girlfriends letters.
Right.
He's now almost a Z, though.
Almost.
He's going to start having to give him numbers.
We'll have to start over again. A, B, C. For those of you that are not aware of the story, it's up on Conversations with My Girlfriend, where 3 years ago I suddenly had a new girlfriend and started the channel, and she was channeling a group that identified itself as the Elohim, and for 6 months she would say, those guys want to talk to you, and they were doing miracles and doing healings and predicting the future, and most of all, they were explaining this event that is very hard for the conscious mind to believe, even mine. When I talk about this, I have to say that even though I'm the guy talking, I'm also the guy listening, because I know how it is to hear this and say, can this be real? Is this really real? And I still say that. So, I would suggest that anyone that hears this story, kick the tires. And even after you kick the tires, your mind is still going to say, can this be real? But let me just say, if it should happen this way, you'll be far better prepared to understand it. So we can all watch the future unfold as experimenters and say, let's see if Wynn was right. In fact, we're going to be starting another really quite grand experiment on
Lock. Oh, I love this, yeah.
This week. And I'll tell you about it a little later, but it's really exciting. And I call it experiment because I have no idea. I'm learning. I mean, I'm having these ongoing conversations with a couple group souls that are supposedly administrating our planet and helping us and guiding us. And I have come to the point where I think it's true. I am talking to those people or to those groups. And please check out my website. You owe it to yourself to kick the tires. No, you can't believe me because I tell you, but you have to kick the tires. ConversationsWithMyGirlfriend.com. And also my website on my book, Casey'sBack.com. And also David Wilcox's website, Ascension2000.com. And some of the people we've had on our show who have such interesting things to share and unusual experiences, By the way, we're going to be having the Rucker on the show maybe next week. I don't know. We have to check it. But she
Boy,
wants to be
that
on.
Would be wonderful.
And
we have quite a guest on today, actually.
Did you?
Don't we? Well, today we have probably, in my opinion, one of the foremost psychics and mediums in the world. And we're just so lucky to have him. His name's Robbie Thomas, and he's here with us today. Hello, Robbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you guys?
You know, wonderful. It's I got to tell you, it's such a pleasure to always be speaking with you, and we've had a chance to do that a few occasions now, and I really love it. I tell people every time I speak to them that your energy, the energy you give off is clear, it's uplifting, it's energizing. You have that way about you, and it just comes through in the feeling that I get whenever I'm speaking with you. It's wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That was very nice. That was very, very nice. You know, I reciprocate that, and I reciprocate, right? and all those other additives I can add.
Well, thank you.
No, seriously. I feel very well when I speak to you. And it's very enlightening. And when I had the opportunity myself today to speak with Wynn, it was my pleasure. It really was. Wynn, you're a fantastic individual, and I'm just so happy to be on your show and Don's show. This is just the most.
So it's our show.
Your shows.
It's
your
our show. All of our shows.
You got it.
You know, we're just the conduits here.
You know, what's really nice is that for all you folks out there, we're going to be speaking with Robbie Thomas today, of course, and a little bit about what he does, and ask him a few questions, and let him tell you about his website and his book and what he's been doing. But he's also going to be doing a new radio program on BBS.com, and it's going to be a 2-hour weekly show, and it might even bump up to 3. It's, of course, going to depend on Robbie himself, but right now he's going to be at least doing 2 hours. And it's, I think, when did we schedule that to debut? Next weekend? Or was it next weekend?
December 4th.
December 4th.
The good kickoff.
Exactly.
It's going to be a good show. We're going to talk about past lives. We're going to talk about longing our loved ones. We're going to have callers calling in for readings. We're going to do dream interpretations. We're going to take the next level and the next step to bump it up a bit and show the realism and spiritualism. I'm going to be able to stress the inner self of every individual. It'll be like walking side by side. It won't be a how-to, but it's going to be on an equal basis, and we're all going to learn together.
I love the sounds of that.
Hey, Robbie?
Yes.
You know, I always ask the question, And when somebody gets to the place where there is, I say, far out is you, and I think you're far out, like, to a normal person, because you are psychic, you can communicate with people that, tell me if I'm wrong about this, people that have gone over to the other side.
That's correct.
And you do that for people, like, in as a professional.
That's correct.
People call you up and say,
no, son, I'm on the radio.
My dad, and
yeah, they call me up and they say, I miss my mom. Can you help me out? I've been involved in murder cases. I've been involved in missing person cases. It goes beyond the stretch of the imagination. Our guides, when you are acceptant and you do hold the key within you and you know how to turn that lock, it opens up a variety of different essential pieces of a puzzle that you can actually communicate and feel, sense, absorb. And this is what has transcended from my beginning of age 3 to now.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, how did it first start for you? How, you know, it's a very quite unusual gift. How did you grow up in consensus reality and handle this kind of ability?
Well, you know how thought manifestation, you know, on a level such as what we're talking about here, not getting too analytical, but when I was age 3, I used to tell my mother I had another sister, and she was born well before I was and adopted out well before I was born. And as the years went on and my mother passed and I was age 28, the family members pulled me aside and said, you know, all those years you were right, we just didn't know how to tell you. And yes, you do have a sister out there. So it started at age 3. At age 4 to 5, my mother also knew I was going to write a book. This transcended now, not just to one book, but I'm working on my 7th book. The things that came from such an early age that I was shown from then till now, it's such a marvelous blossoming of spirituality, the true essence of who you are as a people. And you take not just one individual and say, I can do that. It's all about everybody. This is where we got to learn to share. Now, it may be everybody holds a special piece to the puzzle, but when we put it all together, the picture sure comes clear.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. Well, how did you go from being...
He's a stickler. Watch out for him.
...to being this far out? Okay.
How did I go from being...
Well, in other words, let me put it this way. It's like we grow up... You're Canadian, right?
That's correct.
So you didn't have it as bad as Americans, probably. But we grow up here, and, you know, everyone is conditioned very much to have a certain reality. I mean, we're supposed to get married, have big cars, have big houses, have big jobs. And in fact, if you have talents like the kind you have, if you start talking about it, people will ostracize you, make fun of you. I mean, I'm not saying that happened to you, but, you know, it's somewhat normal. And to be able to go from, like, when you were young, did you want to be a fireman? Did you want to be a policeman, an engineer?
Oh, yeah. The normalcy of life.
That's
almost
what I mean.
Yeah.
And somehow, you know, you grew up and you weren't a fireman, but now you're helping people, you know,
reach out
with those that have passed over.
Right.
So how did you first find out you could do that? Like, did you have a voice in your head? Were you by yourself and talking to all these people on the other side, or did it happen because somebody came up to you and you suddenly could see somebody around them that wanted to talk to them?
Yeah, when I was younger, I'll come up from age, say, 3, 4, right up to about 13.
Okay.
Age 13, seeing full apparitions, seeing the entities, people who have passed over, and feeling the empathy of, you know, if a person died of a heart attack or cancer, and being able to see these things. And then not only that, but to be able to say, I know you have a gastric problem, or I know that you have lung problems, and things like that. They just evolved, and it just became a part of me. Mm-hmm. There is no one secret of how to become this. It's just the fact that when I being chosen and having my guides and my angels and having them to distribute information to me and seeing these, I don't want to call them beings, but spirits, it came, it's like a whole package deal from early age right till now. So I can't really say when did it start, because it started really, really young. It just evolved into a much mature state of mind and understanding as I get to this part of my life now.
Mm-hmm. So you actually... I mean, you can actually see these beings, like when you say apparitions, are they like in an energy outline, or do you see them like in color, 3D, or do you just see them in your mind, like a video playing in your mind, or?
Yeah, you touched upon all of them. I can see the black entities that are trapped, and when I say trapped, Let's take it back a bit here. If somebody's died tragically and they become attached to a home, and when I do paranormal investigations and I go into a person's home and I say, you know, I know the person's name here is John, and he's here, and I can actually see like a shadowy figure.
Right.
He's stuck here because he feels you're invading his property. He's attached to this home, and he needs a little bit of guidance to go to the light, to go back home. And so that's one sense of it. Another is a full apparition. I'll give you an example. This gentleman calls me up, and he says, me and my mother-in-law, she lives above me in the apartment, above in this house. We see this lady, full apparition, glowing, and she comes every once in a while, and it seems to be every year at a certain time, more so than others. And you have to come check this out. So I go there, and I witness door slamming. I hear voices. So one night I was there, I actually did get a glimpse of her. So I'm talking to this gentleman, and I said, you know, she wants you to understand she's giving you a message. And the message is that on the other side of this house here, where this ugliest tree, I'm telling you, it was like a marker. It stuck out like a sore thumb. It had faces on it. It was terrible. And, he goes, well, we keep that closed because Grandma doesn't want, he calls her Grandma's mother-in-law, doesn't want to look out that window. And I said, okay, well, I'm telling you something. I know there's bodies buried there. And he freaks and he goes, no, we're not gonna go there. But in the spring, if you're right, I have to change my water lines. So I'm going to change my water lines on the side of the house, and I'm going to run them around. And if you're right, and we'll go from there. Spring rolls around. He gives me a call. He's going to dig. Sure enough, one body after another, and we dug up five bodies. Now this was in the media.
Oh wow.
Yeah, this was in the media. The police come and quarantined it off because they thought it was a murder scene. They have to run their investigation. We had the First Nations down. They actually took the bones of the people that were buried there, ran them to Toronto, Ontario. The scientists did forensics and everything on them. They said they were 700 years before Christ. That's how far back it went. So it spurred a huge dig in the town of Point Edward.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It went right along the government front property under the bridge, the Bluewater Bridge, which ties Point Edward to Port Huron, Michigan, all along the waterfront, all down the government side of the buildings that were all the property that was owned by the government. And there were so many artifacts that were dug up. It was an ancient burial ground. So the house was actually built. It was the oldest house in Point Edward, and it was actually built on ancient burial ground.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Point Edward, is that an eastern?
That's in Ontario, Canada. You know where Port Huron, Michigan is? It's about an hour from Detroit.
Okay.
Now, when you see these entities or when you communicate with them, do they, send you, voices in your head? Or do you hear them like you're hearing them with your ears or with your mind? Or, you know, I'm just trying to get a mental picture of how this is done.
Okay. You touched upon it again, the actual hearing, and then people refer to it as the third eye, right?
Right.
The mindset. I get it in the mindset, and I also can hear. Sometimes my wife is not so appreciative of what goes on in the night, what goes bump in the night. yeah, it's funny. I actually had an individual come to the middle of the night about 4 a.m., and he's singing Sign, Sealed, and Delivered, and it got louder and it got louder, and then he appeared, and he's standing there and he's singing this song, and he wasn't actually looking at us at the time, but then he did turn and look, and my wife was freaking.
She saw him,
and so he looks down at me, he says, my name is Mark, and I want you to give a message to Deb. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you know, this guy's telling me this. So I'm thinking, okay, now who's Deb, and why are you in my bedroom, and why are you singing, right? So he's telling me that he died, he was engaged to her, and he died before the wedding. So I can see him coming through and wanting to do this. It has happened many times on different occasions of different people, different sets of reasons, but it has happened. So I meet up with this Deb, and I'm talking with her.
Now, how did you know find Deb? Did he tell you how to find her?
I actually had a chat site, and Deb visited my chat site. So I'm talking to Deb, and I said to her, you know, I know about Mark. And she just flipped out, and she starts saying, how do you know about him? And I started explaining everything to her, and she just broke down. And it was like sending flowers, and it was a lot of love. And it was just that when his consensus of signed, sealed, and delivered, I'm yours, he still was her and hers and still in love with her. And that was a message for her. Now, I get the voices in the head where I did a show last night, and I was speaking with a lady live radio around the world, and I said to her, you know, she says, my husband was 70, and he passed away last year, and can you help me? And I said, yes. And what I see is you didn't write a poem, and you didn't write a huge book, but you wrote a little verse, and he's acknowledging this verse, and she goes, I'm putting it in the paper tomorrow. And I said, okay, so I'm hearing this in my head. And she said, oh, my gosh. And I said, you know, now what I'm seeing in my head, too, like seeing and hearing, is he actually had a little teddy bear with roses. And he gives that to you. And I'm getting that he gives that to you a lot or did. And she's sitting there, and she's choked up, and she's telling me that's what he always did, little teddy bears with roses. And he gave it to her. So that's his sign of coming through, and that's how he came through in my mindset. So you have the hearing, and you have the mindset.
You know, that's just it's so incredible when you think about it. Here's a personal question, if you don't mind me asking one. In the evenings, oftentimes, I'm finding now that, you know, people are saying that the veil is lifting,
right,
as this planet is ascending, being herself, and more and more am I able to, I mean, my twin brother Doug seems to be able to take off into the realms and see the beings and spirit guides and angels, but I can't do that. But I have seen many outlines of people in my room almost every night, multiples of them, and it's like it's almost like one big party.
Yeah.
And I don't understand it. You know, I can't hear them. I mean, I think they're looking at me. Sometimes they're trying to talk to me. I can't hear a word. Most of them are quite animated, or like trying to specifically get something across, but I'll be darned if I can understand it.
Don, I know what they want. They want to do a show.
Yeah. You know, your attunement is becoming really well rounded. If you take a look, go back, Don, 5 years ago.
Right.
Okay, listen, we don't have to go that far back. Even go 2 years ago. From that state till now, you have progressed 100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Right. Now, I want to take you to a part where you're in your bedroom now, and you're laying there, and you're just about ready to drift off asleep. This is going to be a kicker for you.
Okay.
And you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, you hear, Dawn, and you look, and your eyes just burst open, and you're thinking, who said that?
I've had that happen.
Right.
When
you want to know who that is?
Who is that?
That's your inner self. It's doing a check on you. And that's where your attunement is coming in. You are actually tuning in, and your inner self, for a lack of a better word, your soul, and is actually doing a check with you. And
isn't that something?
Yeah. It's like anybody who does, you know, wants to keep their faith in check, they ask questions.
Right.
So when that happened to you, you were sitting there going, what the heck is that?
Yeah, it happened to me at the computer, bang, right in my head. And I knew, I was so astounded, I had to kind of sit and think about it for a second.
Yep.
I just, I mean, a loud voice right in my head. And I thought,
yep,
well, what the heck? Who's projecting that in my mind?
There you go. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And we need that every once in a while. It keeps us grounded and, you know, we have a basis of who we are. You know? And it's just the fundamentals speaking of fundamentals, let's go to the actual fact of intuition and the baby steps. I call them baby steps. And when you listen to yourself and you're just in a calm state. Now everybody listening here on the radio can verify with this and say this has happened to me, because when you're sitting there and you think the phone's going to ring, and the phone rings.
Yeah.
You know, and then and you're sitting there and you're going, you're whistling to a song you always, you know, the do run 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 the do, and it comes on the radio and you're going, holy smokes, when's the last time they ever played that song? And I'm just thinking of it, and it's on the radio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a little precognitive ability.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, I've also noticed that a lot of these beings, like if I'm closing my eyes, now this is different. I see it differently when I close my eyes in my mind. And I often see, and maybe you can help me out on this. For quite some time, I've always seen, it first started out with, instead of the energy outlines and the beings and so on, I would see eyes, always eyes.
Yeah.
And then it grew, the eye, then it would extend, I could see the eyes and the forehead. And then later on, it just started to get more and more, but initially I used to always see eyes. Now I usually see the whole thing, but faces, often the faces I see are, they seem familiar and yet, oftentimes they're not, and most of them have, they look human, but they have these big eyes. I mean, if you could imagine, the only pictures that I've saw that look like what I'm talking about are on a website called iamuniversity.com, and it shows these pictures of some, the Ascended Masters or 12, the Council of 12 or whatever, but it shows these pictures of these human-looking beings with these big eyes. I mean, you're talking maybe 3-4 times the size of regular eyes, but yet the features are all human. And I see that a lot, and I didn't understand why, and actually just today I found that website, someone mentioned it to me, iamuniversity.com, and I looked at those pictures and I said, gee, that's exactly like the beings I'm seeing. Maybe you can clarify that. I mean, is that normal?
Oh yeah, most definitely. And you got to wonder where they get their Ray-Bans. But
yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Funny you should mention that, because I thought the same thing the other night when one of them showed up. I mean, he's one who constantly shows up. He's got short dark hair. He's kind of black, dark, short hair, and he's got these huge eyes. It almost looks like he's wearing these massive sunglasses.
Just keep, right. Just keep in mind that I used to sell sunglasses.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Strange.
That's funny.
And you know, I never would have believed in all my years that this... I'm a total believer. You know, I'm one of the people who now realizes that since... You know, I wrote a quote on it. Since we're all really the imagination of the Creator, if we don't open our minds to our own imagination, then we're never really going to be able to grow in that interdimensional communication or etheric communication. You actually have to have an open mind and using your imagination to open up those realms.
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, I'm with you because, you know, for a kid at age 4, and my mother used to tell me, who are you talking to? And I used to sit there and lay in the grass and look up in the sky. Now, even reflect to yourself back to that age. And you used to look up in the sky and wonder what heaven was, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wonder what it's like up there, because you had that yearning inside you. But also, you also said to yourself, when are they coming back? And you're talking about others, not just the realm of heaven. We're talking about others. And we have experienced it. We know that God has created more than just us. We'd be fools not to think any different. So what you're seeing is the truth. And when it does come to you, it's like walking into a brick wall. And I know, Wynn, you can even tell me this too. When we speak of different realms, and we're talking about just not the realms, but we're talking about different lives, different beings, there's many out there.
Oh, without a doubt.
Well, the way that I've learned to understand it, at least intuitively, is to think of different realms as different timelines. In other words, time moves in this dimension so that we can experience it, but it's not an absolute. And then there's another realm where time moves at a different speed, and it's populated, it has beings, but we can't see that realm. It could be right on top of us or right around us.
Right.
Maybe you can see it. Maybe you can see you probably can't, because you have to be seeing through timelines to be able to have the kind of communication you're having, right?
That's right. And not to butt in, but yes. And when I tell people, it's a thin veil. It's nothing like 4 feet off the ground or, you know, floating up in the air at the ceiling. It's not. It's a thin veil. It's like it's right there. It's a timeline. It's like what you're talking about. If one can actually sit there and will another individual to call you, and they say to you, oh, you know, I just had that urge to call you. Well, you're transcending a whole different aspect of spirit that way. So what is there to say that that timeline or that thin veil isn't there? It is.
Yes, I agree. In fact, you know, one person said it's like, it's not, it's with, it's right there next to you. I mean, it's all around you. It's not really above you or below you or to the side. I mean, it's everywhere. And if, you know, if people really, like you don't have to do this anymore because you've been doing it so often, it's a part of you. But most people have to really get into a quiet space before they can you know, get in this sort of, in touch in this sort of way. And many, I guess it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah. And you know, and for some, they, like you're saying, for some, it's, they may have a certain degree to having feelings. And then there's some who have a more degree to feeling even more.
Yes.
And then there's some that can actually just do it. And now, what I mean by that is when an individual can sit there and just not even try, and it happens, well, that person has been able to turn that key, have the acceptance, the assurance from everything that there is in the universe, and become part of it. That is very essential in life. Some people build walls and barriers, and then they tend to have that, you know, what if, and oh, and I question that, and then they get stuck, and
yes,
it becomes a void. A lot of people have to open up more. A lot of people have to understand that there is more than just this. People take a lot of things for granted in life. And spirit is one of them. We should learn to communicate with ourselves a little bit better, look inward. Every answer to everything is in within. And if you can accept and look within, it's been put there. Our higher being has given it to us.
Exactly. I love the way you said that. Do you communicate, you know, I know that you, you're a medium and a psychic, but do you also communicate with angels, and do they communicate with you readily? Are you able to do that?
Yeah, you want to hear, you're not going to laugh at me, are you?
Absolutely not. I'm always ready.
I'm asleep, and here's another little thing for you. When you're asleep and you're on the light edge of sleep, you sense everything around you, what's going on in your home and where people are, and you just happen to know everything. And you do this too, right?
You know, it's funny. It's growing. I can't say I do that yet, but I can feel that ability growing. Yes.
Okay. Good. Now, I was like that in one night, and I'm going to straight up and say it. No matter how many times I see dead people or entities or hear things, I still get freaked. I'm human. So I'm in bed, and I sense my wife coming. And I just happened to lift my head up and open my eyes, and there on each side of her were her guides. So we'll say angels.
Right.
And I've never heard myself scream so loud. And she said, you know, you let the most womanish scream out of you. And I pulled the covers over my head, and she jumped right into bed and said, don't ever do that again. And you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, I just seen these two beautiful gold flowing, and they were just gold, all really bright, and they had white all around them, and they were her guides, one male, one female.
Boy, that would have been an awesome sight.
It was. And
you said before that when the science field delivered person came, your wife was watching them.
Right.
She saw them too.
Yeah, she's seen them too.
Now, she's not normally that way, right?
No, she's not normally that way. And here's an, you know, you brought up a great point. We'll go back two nights ago, and I don't know what it was about two nights ago. I'm sitting there, and it feels like this is a porthole, this home where I live. And, of course, I get a lot of activity because of who I am. We're sitting there, and the lights in the living room go on and off, and there's big pounding on my ceiling in my bedroom. Now, I get up, and I walk and see to make sure the kids aren't, you know, jumping around. They're snoring. So I come back down, lay in bed, and it's going on, and I hear tink, tink, and I've done EVPs in my own home. And you know, when I get all these noises, right, I know who it is. And I hear bang, bang, like pounding really hard. So I go, hey, hey, wake up, look at this. And as soon as she wakes up, the lights go on and off, on and bang, 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 really loud, like really banging. And she turns to me, oh, my gosh. And I said, you know what? She's back. She's acting up. I don't know. Maybe this is the time she was killed in the accident. See, what we did was we were in a house hunt, and we gave up. And we never drove down this road ever. Didn't want to come by this area. You know, it's a nice area. We just didn't want to come down it. So one night we're driving down. The house is for sale. And it so happened that we bought it that night. She just put it up for sale that morning. She came down on the price like you wouldn't believe, and we bought the house. It was meant to be. So upon signing, the realtor tells us that her mom and dad lived here with her, renovated the home to extremes, and went on vacation after a year. While they were on vacation for 2 days, they got hit head-on with a transport.
Oh, boy.
And they were killed. So in learning this, I thought, here we go, right? I just know what's coming now.
Yeah.
So we sign it, and sure enough, she sits on my bed. She walks back and forth. She checks on things. She didn't like it. I changed the kitchen. There's been a lot of stuff that's been going on in the home. And I wrote about it in my second book about her. And so we're sitting here, and that's who it is. She comes and goes. And we actually bought the home just before Christmas. So we're looking at the timeline here. And I'm going to, you know, the feeling I really got when I was talking to my wife, I said, this is the anniversary date of their death. So I'm going to call the lady we bought the home from, and I'm going to find out, because I really get that. Isn't that something?
You know, and it was, wasn't it?
It was.
That's just amazing. Yeah, funny you should mention.
Are they
you
still
get...
there?
The husband and the wife?
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's very active. He comes once in a while, eh? But she's very active. They're not trapped. This is where spirits can come and go. A lot, like your mom can come and go. There's, you know, my mom can come and go. There's things that...
When you say my mom can come and go, are you checking my mom out when you say that?
Am I checking your mom out?
Yeah.
You win.
You my train of thought's gone. You just changed it.
Well, I mean, if my mom is there, I want her to say hello.
You know what I mean? Like they can come and go. They're free will, right? Because the spirits are free will.
I mean, what she's saying is that they're not trapped.
Right.
They can move into this density and move back into the spirit world.
Right. And, you know, when they're trapped, like Elizabeth, I did another home, and she was foul play, and she was murdered there, and we got her on tape, and she was crying, and I was telling her, you know, go home, and you can hear her mournfully crying. And I said, so finally she left, but she was trapped, because on the registry, back then in those days, husband and wife were on it, but, you know, 7 months later, he's got another woman, and I felt fire, I felt foul play, so she was murdered, so she wanted to get it out, and on the tape it says, the truth, like that, whispered. And so it finally all came out, and so we sent her on her way. She's gone. But when they're trapped, it's like they become attached. It's like, go back to the medieval days, and when somebody has a sword and they have the ill will to strike down another, and that ill will was done in an intention that the individual wants repentance now, he becomes attached to that sword. The spirit has a claim on certain things at certain times in certain ways. So then now that sword's sitting in a museum, or that sword's sitting in someone's house, and they say, wow, we see this entity all the time, we can't get over it, and what the heck is going on? So that's what is going on. It's attached to the possession. It's not being possessed, but it's being attached to the possession.
Yeah. You know, when you were saying you get, that's my kids, I love my children, I got four of them, but you'll hear them every now and again. When you were saying you got freaked, I had this, I was telling Wynn about an experience. It was the first time I've ever been scared out of my wits. And you know, I'm a person who does not have fear, really. I mean, I just don't buy into it. And I try to just keep it away from me at all times. And you know what I'm saying? But
oh, I do.
This one time I was in bed. And I woke, and I don't know what startled me. I had a dream, and it scared me. So I don't remember the dream, but something about it scared me so bad that I woke up. And I sat up, and I opened my eyes, and right there on my bed was this black face. And it was blacker than midnight. I mean, almost like black hole black. I mean, the room was black, but this face was even darker. And it had these blue lines that horizontal and vertical over the face, and these black eyes, and it had this glowing blue around it, and it scared me so bad that when I screamed as loud as I could scream, whacked my wife upside the head, her head hits the headboard, and we're both screaming.
Yeah, but she's screaming at you for what you did.
Yes, yes. And I couldn't go back to bed. I had, and it, like, it sent a wave of fear through me. I didn't realize, I still don't know whether it was a good entity or a bad entity or what it was or what was happening, or, well, I'll never forget it.
Well, you know what I'm getting? And when you talk like that, you remember your childhood friend? Now, I'm not saying a live friend. I'm talking imaginary friend.
I don't know. I don't remember him, no.
You don't remember that. Okay. And you know what's funny that comes with this, Don, is Will. William or Will. So this is what I'm getting with this. This was a part of you when you were a child.
Really?
Yes. So if Will or William or Willie has anything to do with your memory, that you can remember this, this is who this is.
You know, the name is so familiar. It just seems familiar. It fits. But so that entity would be named William.
Yeah. Will, William, Willie, that is who this is. And
well, why would he scare, why would I have a bad dream that
so... You just had an adverse effect of, you see, sometimes it all goes down to be acceptance, right?
Right.
It all goes right down to that, the core of it. When you wake up and you're startled and you get freaked, like me, like anybody.
Freaked is a good word for it.
Yeah, you know, it happens. And we immediately focus on, ooh, it's bad, and ooh, what's that, right?
Right.
And that's how we are. We're human. That's what it is. If we would have taken the time to sit there and just analyze and say, okay, now I'm really going to focus hard. But you did. You got the blue lines and what have you, you know, but you were still freaked.
Yeah, I should have just opened my eyes, been calmly, and just kind of try maybe to communicate with it. But I was, after whatever woke me up and then the dream and opening up my eyes and seeing that right next to me on my bed, whoa.
Yeah.
I was... I can't describe the fear that went through me. I don't know if I've ever felt fear like that before.
Yeah, yeah, it's a startling. It's it most certainly is, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Well, at least next time it becomes round, I'll know that he was a childhood buddy or something.
Yeah, just say knock three times on the ceiling, you know.
Knock before you enter. Yeah.
Yes, most definitely.
Well, Rob, I got a question for you.
Okay, Wynn.
I know someone that believes they have entities attached to them that are fragments from an atomic blast.
Okay.
Have you ever had any experience with that?
Like with energy?
Well, here's the idea. That is, when people die in atomic blasts, I don't know this directly. I've read it, and so I'm repeating what I've read. Their souls get fragmented. They have a very harder time going through and reintegrating, and it takes a long period of time and assistance from the other side to get integrated back into a body. And so this person believes they have soul fragments that have attached themselves to them from this kind of a blast.
Right.
Have you ever experienced that with anyone?
No, that's the first I've ever heard of that.
Uh-huh.
I can give you my personal view on this and what I do know. I'm not going to say I've done. It's been explained to me about suicide, about different deaths, about different things. The spirit is a whole. There is no departing or taking parts of the spirit. It is your spirit, my spirit, all belongs to the divine.
Yeah.
And there is no way to fragment a spirit because it belongs to the divine. So I cannot say I really, you know.
The reason that this atomic blast apparently can do this, and again, I have no idea if anything I'm saying is correct, but it's because an atomic blast is multidimensional.
Right. I understand what you're saying.
It goes through more than one timeline.
Right.
And so because it does that, and because our souls exist in more than one timeline, then it has this ability to
dissipate.
Well, what I think it does is it disturbs the identity of the soul, and it fractures not the soul per se, but the identity of it. So it's, I think, in fact, that's what I'm getting, and that's what I've understood. Maybe I'm way out to lunch, too.
Hmm. That is a very good discussion topic, and I'm sorry. I wish I would have come upon this. And
I'll have you have a chat with the person. Okay.
Yeah.
With the man.
If they're open to it.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I would really like to talk about that.
Yeah, see what you tune into because it's very real for this person, and they're very, you know, they're not crazy. They're very intelligent.
Right.
And yet they have this experience of having attachments,
right,
and that, we were talking earlier about the raw material a little bit, and in the raw material by Carla Ruckert, which I hope you read because it's really amazing stuff.
It sounds fascinating.
Ra talks somewhat about how they have been involved in the history of mankind. And have you ever heard of Maldek?
That word sounds so familiar.
Maldek is a planet, was a planet.
Okay.
That exploded and became the asteroids.
Okay.
Okay? And Maldek was populated. And when it exploded, apparently, I think this is where I first heard about this idea of fragmented souls. When it exploded, the souls were really screwed up on that planet because they lost their whole planet, and it was
they lost their whole planet, no doubt. I'm sorry.
Is that funny?
Well, yeah,
so
just,
souls had to. Ra, is a group soul, and if I've got it right, they are like the oversoul for this sector of the galaxy, and they administrate things. In the way the one infinite creator, or what we think of as God, I explain it this way, is the God works, is everything. The whole universe is God. We're all little, tiny little cells. All the planets are cells. All the populated beings and other planets are cells. And all of it makes up one being, which is God. And
or the creator, you mean.
We're all like flowing around in that being. And they're all, on this side, it's all physically separated. Then on the other side, it's all holographically connected.
Right.
And that there's an upward flow of dimensions. And at the higher dimensions, there's group souls. And group souls are more evolved forms of us.
Right.
And they've gone through millions of years of lifetimes and up ladders of evolution. And then there's the hierarchy works where they act as kind of a god form for planets at lower levels of evolution. So Ra says that they moved the souls from Maldek to our planet to continue their evolution, and that they were really screwed up, and that they had to make a special body for them, which, if I got this correct, was Neanderthal man, and that they had to go through a certain amount of experiences as Neanderthal man before they could become fully integrated. They used that body to that body form as a way of reintegrating the soul fragments.
Right, right. I'm aware of that. My wife calls me that all the time.
Yeah. She does. So you're one of these Maldekians, then.
You know, that's interesting, because with your ability, I'm sure that you must channel every now and again, or do you ever get channelings, or do you ever communicate with group oversouls, or have you pretty much...
I'm glad you asked me that question. I was hoping you wouldn't, and you just took a little bit too long to get to it. Yes. Now, let's say this is bittersweet, okay?
Okay.
My mother, now, when I say to people I had a vision, and I went and explained it, I know about Council of God, and I don't want to go through saying, you know, about Council of God, because if I start to explain everything to them, it gets right into a really deep, deep discussion. A lot of people just don't have the tendency to sit there and listen to it, you know, as we're doing right now. Well, the Council of God, and I know when you spoke of Ra and...
Well, there's two oversouls of the Council of Elohim.
Right.
And there's Ra.
Right.
In fact, in a recent conversation, you know, I said, was there anyone else? And they said, there's the Council of Twelve.
Yes,
okay.
So, correct.
So essentially, as it's been defined, of course, the stuff I'm saying, I can't validate. I can validate that I've had miracles and I've had amazing experiences in the physical. And then I ask questions and I get these amazing answers. Some of it is just wise and I can validate the wisdom. But sometimes I ask questions... And if you look at the, did you post that?
I will post. I'll be posting it tonight. The new channeling. I'll post it tonight.
I do questions and answers because I'm kind of like a very curious guy. So a couple of ago we were doing a channeling and I said, well, how many souls are in the Ra group? And they said, do you mean in the solar system or the Milky Way? I said the Milky Way. They said 5 billion. How many are in the Elohim group? And then they went through how many were in the solar system, how many are on the planet. Because, you know, what it is in these group souls, the way they explain it is, you know, there's quite a few who have volunteered that have bodies. And you could very well be one of them, you know.
Yes.
Because normally people that come from these higher dimensions have special gifts and abilities of some sort.
Yes.
Right, right.
Well, I should say... The people that have these special gifts come from these higher dimensions, but oftentimes there's people that are totally lost that also have come from those higher dimensions because they haven't integrated who they really are, and they're still trying to live their life as the way they've been brought up. Or
that's right.
You know, within the matrix. So.
And then again, it always goes down to the layman terms of acceptance.
Yeah.
Right.
So you were going to say about your experiences there?
Okay. Now, the Council of God came to me the night before. I'm just going to say the night before because then I'll get into the story so you can understand it.
Okay.
And they're telling me, Robbie, you're going to be okay. Not to worry. Now, my mother was intuitive very much, and she still is. They came to me, they explained to me what was going to happen, and I just couldn't bear with it because, you know, this is my best friend, how are you taking her away from me type thing, it's not time, you know, I need the nurturing still, I know I'm in my 20s, but you just can't do this. So they went on to explain more to me and that, you know, I will eventually evolve into much more than what I am now. I thought, okay, this is great, you know, but you're taking my life away from me. So the next morning, I go and I'm sitting with my mother, and I tell her, you know, I look in her eyes, and you can just sense that she knows what I'm going to say. She just knows it. And I tell her, Mom, I know you're going to pass today. Today's your day. And no one should ever, 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 ever say that to anybody, and I never will ever again. And
this was 2 days ago?
Pardon me?
Did you say this was 2 days ago?
No, this happened in 1994.
Okay.
Okay, so it was a vision. I say a vision, but it was an actual visit from the Council of God talking to me about what was going to happen. So I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to my mom the very next day, and I'm explaining to her, and she says to me, I'm going to go lay down now, and without normal talk, and I found it kind of, you know, queer that she would just say, I'm going to go lay down now, so you go home, and you bring my daughter, and I'll watch her overnight for you. And I thought, okay.
Wow.
So I leave, and I'm going home, and I'm baffled by just telling her and the way she responded. An hour and a half later went by, and it was my father on the phone, and he's screaming, and he's saying, it's your mother. I'm in the kitchen with my best buddy and my wife. I get in the car, we drive over there, and all I remember is they're bringing her out on a gurney, and they're doing CPR, and my mother had passed. So what came as revelation and time to pass and time to grow was an actual cutting of the apron strings, let's say, her time, her bidding time, and what have you. It was done here. The nurturing and the soul connection between me and her was more than just mother and son. And she is now in heaven. She's actually one of my
amazing
guys.
Amazing.
She's one that helps me.
Wow, that's a story. That's a powerful story.
Yeah, and it's all in my first book. It's all documented. People who've seen what happened and whatever. Yeah, it's all there.
You know, that's for the folks listening. We've got quite an audience listening. I'm really quite surprised. Thank you for all paying attention. You check out RobbieThomas.net. Again, it's RobbieThomas.net. RobbieThomas.net. And you can get the books and check his website out and so on. But lots happening with Robbie. Not only has he got a show that's going to be starting on BBS Radio on the 4th, he's got quite a number of other events that are going to be happening for him, and I'll let him explain that on his own show. But it's exciting. Robbie, I got to tell you, what a gift. What a gift.
Yeah, you know, I remember when we first started the show here this evening, talking about the young age. You know, I used to think it was a curse because during my adolescence, I always looked at people would think I'm a freak and, you know, how could I get this out, this message? And after my mother passed, I started writing, taking notes, taking things, helping people. It just escalated, and I said, I've had it. And I wrote it out and sent it out there, and it was accepted. And it's not about the book. It's about the people. It's about everybody. And we need to do a little bit more reaching and helping and praying. And, you know, we have to look inward a lot more. We need to learn to love the universe. There's a lot here we have to learn. If we could take just one day at a time, you've done your job.
I agree. You're right on. You said it right on. We have to learn to love not only ourselves, but one another and the whole that is us, which is everything. And you know, it's a part of that acceptance, forgiveness, and learning to be grateful and love ourselves and all that is us. And what do you think? You know, here's a question. I'm glad I remember it. We're talking, of course, as this new age seems to be moving on, as we're entering into the new age of Aquarius. There is not only a lot of new energies in play and a lot of changes happening, but there's so many different theories and messages or thoughts as to how this is all going to transpire. And, you know, I just wanted to kind of get your idea of what you think. It just opinion-wise, what you think's going to happen as we enter into this new age? Is it like, are you one of the people that believes we're entering into an age of manifestation, that 2012 is the year, or that we're going to all ascend with the planet, or the people that can't ascend? Or, you know, there's so many different, you know, I have my own version, and I'm sure everybody else does. I was just wanting to get yours.
Yeah. yeah, that's a tall order.
It is.
I will start this way. It's going to actually complement what you're saying, but I'll have a little different way of approaching it, saying it. I know from last year we are in the 7 years of attunement. Now, it's a re-justification of everything that's going on. This is like the practice ground, let's say, for all of us to start to attune more, to know spirit and God and come together. This is the 7 years that it has begun. Now, I predicted a year ago that the church alone would come out and start to accept spirituality and the way that we can reach out and communicate, not only with the dead, but, psychically and what have you, a lot more, and things will start to happen a little bit more. I also predicted about aliens, and we won't call them aliens, we'll call them our brothers, because they are part of the universe, and we are part of the universe as
yes.
well. Now, this is all going to happen in 2 to 4, and this will all transcend. Things will start to come, and people say, the Earth shifted, and there's going to be another one. Well, yeah, the Earth's going to shift, but it's not going to shift like what people think. Spiritually sound and the way of an awakening, more so than anybody can ever think, that's the shift. And it's coming. And people are going to be wide-eyed, opened up. And I hope that there's people out there that won't be standing there saying, oh, my gosh, I got to get with it. Start to look inward. Feel it, because it's all inside you. It's all been there. It's bookmarked. It's like a road map back home. Everything is in you. The yearning for knowledge, the yearning to seek, the yearning for home, it's all there. Everything that we are a part of everything. That's just the way life is. It's coming. And this is, like I said, we're in the attunement.
I love the way you say that, because I call it the years of truth. You know, as many others, you know, that this is where all the truths start to come out. Whether those be, you call it a tomb, love that. I love the way you put that, because it fits with what I believe.
Yeah.
That these next few years are the years of attunement or truth, and a lot of changes with awareness and learning to live with spirit and accept ourselves for who we are as eternal divine beings that are interdimensional beings. And there is, a result that will come about, or a shift that will occur. Let's call it when that 100th monkey slaps his leg.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And what we all have to learn to do with our brothers and sisters is we walk side by side. We don't walk ahead of anybody, and we don't point and say, you walk before me. Everybody's equal. We have to throw out all that ego per se.
Exactly.
And, all that persona of I am. You know, and we are together on this because we belong to one.
Right on. I love it. You know, it has been, Wynn, you've been awful quiet there, which is unusual, folks. You all know Wynn like I know Wynn.
Well, usually when you and I talk, I can be really offensive. I have to be really polite, because Robbie's a new guy, and I don't want, to treat him like I treat you.
Well, thank you, Wynn.
Thank you so much.
Actually, I did. I keep saying this to myself, so I might as well put it out. And that is, so can you say hello to my mother?
Yeah. Hey, Wynn.
Huh?
You know how you well, obviously you're in writings and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
You write a melody and of your mom? Did you write something about your mom?
Can I?
No, did you?
Did I?
Because I'm getting something like, you know, and when I say that, I'm getting like, I'm in a mood for a melody, I'm in a mood, you know, but I'm getting that, so it relates to being like a melody. If you wrote something about your mom.
Maybe she likes one of my songs. I don't think something specific.
You've spoken or written something about your mom. That's what I'm getting. And it's like that, and it comes in like a melody. Mm-hmm. So, melody, that's how it comes in.
Now, you know, my nephew is listening to this show tonight. Hi, Danny. You know, and so he knows my mother. It was his grandmother. So I had a very angelic mother.
She still is.
She still is.
It's funny how I could, you know, phrase my mother and your mother.
Yeah.
So I picked up on your mother. But you know when? It's so funny. I'm still getting that stuck in my head about a melody or, you know, you did something, you wrote something, you sung it to her. I don't know if it was that you were one day by yourself and you sung to your mother, but she's telling me this is what it is.
It might even be for Danny often enough, you know,
if you want to know, like, just a tiny bit of my childhood, you know, I was, my parents were both in Philadelphia, and I went to school in Berkeley, and then I was a physics major, and then I became a vagabond troubadour. I mean, I went through writing songs and hitchhiking around the country. And I remember I took my first girlfriend with me, and we were driving a Volkswagen bus, and we were having the most amazing time. It was in the, I guess, the 70s, and I had long hair, and she and I were like hippie emissaries wherever we would go.
Hippie emissaries.
We would go into bars, and they would say, they're here, and they'd put us up in between the band. And
was that just to look at you, or?
No, we were playing our hippie love song.
Right.
And then eventually, we ended up in Philadelphia, which was where my parents were. And I brought this woman. We stayed at my parents' house, and I mean, we would sing. I mean, my father was a little bit of shock because I mean, here I was. I was supposed to be a physics professor. I'm driving around the country with this bohemian lady. And
boy, that does not sexy at all.
I remember one time he comes down from upstairs and the two of us are doing yoga in the living room.
you and a bohemian woman doing yoga. I'm not going to get that image out of my mind, am I?
No, you're going to have nightmares.
There comes the blue head again, black and blue head.
So in any case, I did play, you know, my mother was fairly supportive of me. I mean, I remember my sister got married, and I was such a rebel, and I went to the wedding. I went in my full hippie regalia at the time. And there was this, you know, Jewish bar mitzvah band, and I got up and I sung some of my songs in front of all these people, which were all my relatives.
Right.
You know, it was like it was a coming out situation, which I'm sure nobody ever forgot, you know.
Oh, no, you know, those are the fondest memories.
Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt.
So, I mean, if my mother is thinking of a song, she's probably thinking of one of those.
Right. Yeah, what a segue. You just did something really well. Cool. And I'm not picking on you like Don does. I'm just
I'm his co-host. I'm supposed to pick on him.
We're supposed to pick on each other. Then it doesn't get boring. Everyone realizes we're human, you know?
That's right.
You know, one of the things, Robbie, you know, when you have these phenomenal type experiences by other people's standards.
Right.
It's like they don't think you're human. I mean,
why is that?
Because how could you be talking to the other side? How could you be talking to group souls that have been God, and the next moment you're horny, okay?
Yeah.
You know,
well,
kind of clashes.
I thought they go hand in hand.
Well, I guess they do go hand in hand. A lot of people, you know. I used to think when I was younger that when I discovered God, when I finally discovered God, I would never be horny again.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I would be walking around God realized, and you couldn't be God realized and be horny, right?
Yeah.
So.
No, that's true. You know, when you say that, I just reflected back, and I was, you know, I was in grade 2, and this priest had such a dominance over me of, you know, me wanting to be a priest. And I wanted to be a priest so bad in grade 1, grade 2. And I just loved how he spoke of God and spirit. And then I started thinking, you know, growing up into, you know, grade 3 and stuff, and when I get older, yeah, well, as soon as I hit high school, that went out the window so fast because there were girls.
Well, now we know that priests get horny, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Well, we, you know, I got to tell you, I am so looking forward to your show that's coming on BBS Radio next weekend. I'm gonna be your best and biggest fan. I got to tell
you. Are you gonna listen, Don?
Oh, are you kidding? And the show's called A Link to Heaven Radio with Robbie Thomas, and it's the name of his book, A Link to Heaven, and you know, you can get that on his website, RobbieThomas.net. And if you could feel his energy and speak with him as we have and know some of the remarkable things that Robbie has done throughout his life, and even, you know, recently, as you know, with that investigation and various other things that you've done, I mean, you're just such an incredible individual, and I hope people really start to get familiar with you, your show, the message you're trying to deliver, because it's important, very important. And I love you.
Oh,
and I love what you're doing.
Right back at you. And yeah, it's all about the people, and it's going to be a great show because we're going to give back, and that's the main thing. It's always giving. It's not what you take out of life; it's what you put into it.
Are you going to have call-ins?
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
We'll have them call Don.
What are they going to call him?
What are they going to call me?
Yeah, right. Yes, we're going to have call-ins, and I'm going to do dream interpretations. I'm going to do soul readings. When I do soul reading on a dream interpretation, what it actually is, I give the past, the present, the future, and it's all done with everything that's going on in the person's life, very personal. So then we try to take that and we turn it to give them a better perspective and try to help them, guide them along, and, you know, say, like, we are a team together and we're going to do this. And it's all about us. So that's how we're going to do it.
I love it. Well, we have a show coming on next. I'm telling you, it's amazing. Dr. Bell, of course, has the Dr. Bell Health, Science, and Energy show on next. And what's amazing is I get so many emails, flooded with emails, of people that tune into his show. And so he's now started to open up a Saturday Night Live show. He calls it his Saturday Night Live because he's a card. He's a wonderful character, and he, you know, he spends a lot of time, you know, in the various different areas, whether it's spiritual or scientific. But anyways, I just want to let the audience know his show is still coming. I know it's a little late starting, but, you know, I got to tell you, if you were Don and Wynn and you were talking to a fellow like Robbie Thomas, you wouldn't want to let go of that interview at all. And so, I mean, I'm
Don,
just...
Don, you're the boss. So of all the shows... yours can go over. Right? I mean, you know, he who, let's see, how does it go? I used to say, he who has the gold makes the rules.
No,
right?
I believe me, I'm a poor boss.
That's true. Yes. The show before you went over.
Nobody listens to me anyway, so I just...
well, you're not
saying
enough.
Thank heavens.
I want to raise.
Okay, well, that I can definitely answer no.
I was quick, too.
Listen, before we sign off, I wanted to we'll do our, like, Robbie, we do this closing meditation, and it's kind of a grid healing, like, where my image is that all our high selves, everyone who's listening, their souls come together for a moment, and some people email us back and say they got goosebumps and they felt it, so I want to do that with you because you have a great energy to share that with that. But before I do that, I said there was something really extraordinary we were going to be doing, and I want to share that, okay?
You betcha.
And that was, you know, those of you who have been listening and checking my website and listening to the show know that I've been having these ongoing conversations with a group soul that calls themselves the Council of Elohim. And we have transcripts up every week, and now we have questions and answers. And they've come through two girlfriends in a row. And girlfriend X was on last week, and she will be on again. And thank you for the emails you sent, appreciating her, because she's just coming to the place of appreciating her own gift to be able to do this. So, those of you that have studied my case know that I've had this phenomenal miracle that happened with my sister, who was supposed to die and didn't. And, you know, it's a medical miracle, and I'm not going to tell that whole story, go on conversations with my girlfriend and read it. But I said to myself, well, you know, maybe the Council of Elohim could help other people that want to reach, and I'm always scared that I'll get a million emails if I ever really put that out big time. So we had a conversation, and I said, this is me and the Elohim, and I said, how about if we set up a special email account and that you guys could read the emails from the other side, and so people could ask for healings, and you'll work with it. And they said, go for it. So watch for that account. I'm not saying this is going to work. This is like a big experiment as far as I'm concerned. But I do know they're paying attention to me. And
so it'll be about, like, they'll send in emails requesting healings.
Yeah.
And the Council of Elohim, or the Ra group energy will...
They asked me to ask which group I wanted to work with these emails.
Right.
And since I had the healing with my sister with the Elohim, then I probably will do that. And let me just say that, you know, to get a healing, your high self has to approve. They've even said, you know, in terms of my sister never knew that I asked the question, never knew that I asked them for help, and yet it still happened. So it's something that you can ask for other people and let it go. And, I mean, to me, I would love to do this and watch the feedback and see what happens. See what happens for people that make requests. So watch for this. We'll put it up on the Don and Wynn show, and we'll do it this week.
Well, I'll create a whole new link section on the NAVS for it so that people, you know, can really become aware of it.
Yeah. And so that's a great gift. That if it works, it's a great gift to all of us. So on that note, Father, Mother, God, I'd like to ask just now for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person that's listening to our show tonight. And of course, Robbie and Don. And and that any negativity can be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. We visualize right now connecting with each other through the grid lines of the earth. We send energy to these grid lines. We send our energy for the upliftment of our planet. We send our love and light to the planet itself. We send our light to humanity, to all those people who are suffering. And we ask that this light can reach them, and they can be touched, and they can lift their spirits, if that's for the highest good of all concerned. We send the light to all of those we're connected with in pain that need healing. And we ask that that can go to them for the highest good of all concerned. And we thank every one of you for tuning in. And next week, we might have Carla Ruckert. The week after, we might have Girlfriend Dex back. And anything either of you guys want to say before we close out?
Robbie?
Yes. Remember, each day is a gift. Use it wisely. Live it to its full potential. Live it with everybody. And for every moment you share, you've done your job in this life.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, everybody out there, know that you're loved, as the Ra always says, more than you can possibly imagine. And so do something nice for somebody tonight and tomorrow morning, and stay centered, stay grounded, no matter what's happening around you. Feel that energy and try to work with it. And, you know, I bless you all for listening, and I thank you for your time. And I know we have Dr. Bell coming on next. What I am going to do, per Dr. Bell's request, is play 30 minutes of his last show, which was on Tuesday, not the last Saturday, but last Tuesday's show will be, because he wants everybody who's tuning in right now to understand what he's going to be talking about during his live broadcast, which will be right after the first 30 minutes of his show. So that'll be coming to you here momentarily. Again, we wish you all the best this wonderful weekend. And it is indeed a wonderful weekend.
Hey, Don?
Yes.
You know, is your mother listening?
You know, I think she does listen to him, all of our recordings.
We should all. I know she's having some health concerns. Let's just all send our love and prayer and care to your mother.
Amen.
Win, I love you. Thank you. I truly do. And, Mom, you know I love you. You've been, well, you know, I'll tell you, folks, if you know anything about Mother Teresa, you have an inkling of what my mother's like. And I promise you, she's one of the best souls on this planet. And it's hard for me to know that she's, having health problems. But I love her. And, Mom, I just bless you for all that you are and all that you do. And thank you, Wynn, and Robbie, I appreciate that.
I thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure.
God bless you. God bless you, Wynn. God bless your mother, Don.
Thank you.
I'm sending prayers and good thoughts to her.
Thank you. I love you guys. I hate to hang up. I just enjoyed this so much. My energy levels are so wonderful right now. But I know it's time to go. And again, it has been an honor. I look forward to your new show coming up on December 4th. Again, for folks that are listening, Robbie Thomas will have a show on BBS Radio starting Sunday evening. And it's a two-hour show. Check bbsradio.com for the times that it's going to be starting. And RobbieThomas.net for all of you who should be picking up his book, A Link to Heaven, believe me. And thank you again. Wynn, good night. Robbie, good night.
Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy. on your journey.